This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with President Trump's nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to succeed retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. Trump praised Kavanaugh as one of the finest and sharpest legal minds in our time. He currently serves on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. He also teaches at Harvard. Kavanaugh is a veteran of a number of explosive partisan battles, including the Whitewater investigation, which led to the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. He also worked for former President George W. Bush. He clerked for Justice Anthony Kennedy. So, if he's confirmed by the Senate, what kind of justice will Brett Kavanaugh be? And how far to the right would he push the nation's high court? Joining me are two people with local roots who know Judge Kavanaugh: Nancy Gertner, a former federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's legal analyst. Nancy Gertner, always good to see you.
Good to be here.
Also with us is Ron Cass. He's Dean Emeritus of Boston University School of Law. He's on the line with us from Virginia. Dean Cass, good to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you again.
And I'll start with you, Mr. Cass. You know Brett Kavanaugh personally. Tell me your reaction to his selection.
Well, I think it's a terrific selection. I've known Brett for more than two decades. He's a very nice, very thoughtful, very kind person. He's a great judge. He's somebody who has a deep commitment to the rule of law. He's got credentials, as you mentioned, that are stellar credentials. But more than that, he's very thoughtful, very measured, and very committed to following precedent and to obeying the law and to seeing that the law is interpreted and applied in a reasonable and predictable way.
Let's hear a little bit of Brett Kavanaugh. Here he is speaking last night after being nominated, announced as the nominee by President Trump.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
So, Nancy, let me come to you. There he is talking about a judge interpreting the law, not making the law. What's your reaction to this nomination?
Well, I have two reactions. One is that he was on the slate of candidates prepared by the Heritage Foundation and by the Federalist Society. Clearly, he gave someone assurances with respect to the hot-button issues of our day. If he were, in fact, a black box, which is what that comment would suggest, interpret the law, take it wherever it goes, I can assure you he would not have been on that list. And in addition, as Dean Cass knows, the Constitution is phrased in very general terms, was the product of compromise. There's a range of reasonable interpretations, and we can be sure from things that he said in the past that he will be on the side of the range that conservative thinkers are on. There's no question about that.
Right. Dean Cass, you wouldn't disagree with that, would you? That, I mean, if Justice Kennedy was in the middle of this ideological divide on the Supreme Court, Justice Kavanaugh would push it more toward the conservative side.
Well, the first thing I have to say is, you know, I'm a fan of Judge Gertner's as well. We've known each other a long time. I don't agree at all with the notion that he gave anyone assurances of anything. I've been through the presidential appointment process six times. I never was asked for and never gave any assurances. And I can certainly guarantee that when the president's list was put together for him, nobody on that list was asked for any guarantee or gave any. As to the question of where the court would move, certainly Judge Kavanaugh has been someone who's been a committed textualist, a committed originalist. As Judge Gertner said, those are modes of interpreting the Constitution that often are associated with conservatives, but they don't always lead to conservative results. Justice Scalia was a committed originalist and textualist. He was one of the people who was hardest core in protecting criminal defendants' rights of confrontation. So I think we shouldn't be too quick to jump to assigning a place on the spectrum to the next judicial appointment.
Let me read just a quick passage here from the New York Times writing about Judge Kavanaugh this morning. He has written countless decisions applauded by conservatives on topics including the Second Amendment, Amendment, religious freedom, and campaign finance, but they have particularly welcomed his vigorous opinions hostile to administrative agencies, a central concern of the modern conservative legal movement. Nancy, what does that tell us about Judge Kavanaugh? Or I'm sure you've got your own ideas in terms of particular issues that he will touch.
Well, the administrative state issue is an interesting issue. Judge Gorsuch, likewise, is hostile to administrative interpretations. He believes the court should not necessarily cede to administrative agencies the discretion to interpret the law. That is an approach that puts at risk environmental protection, equal employment regulations, puts at risk a whole host of things. But I want to go back to the slate issue. There has never been, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rudy, that if there has never been a president who has had a slate of nominees on which he has run. So Trump says to people, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges, and here's my slate. So somebody somewhere is being assured that's what's the nature of this is going to be. So I don't think that anyone has ever gone through judicial selection in the way that President Trump has done it. Hmm. In addition, he vigorously gave a speech to the American Enterprise Institute praising the dissent in Roe v. Wade. He has dissented. He dissented in the case involving the young immigrant woman who was 17, who was pregnant, and he dissented and was the rest of the court went the other direction. One can go through his writings. Actually, the thing that I am more concerned about than abortion even is his position with respect to presidential power. In the Minnesota Law Review article that people are talking about now, he made it clear that he believed in a robust view of presidential power. The president and the attorney general, he says, could define and monitor the independent counsel's jurisdiction. The president, the special prosecutor, should be removable at will to the president. That the president has the absolute discretion when he can be investigated and who to do the investigating. That forecasts a very troubling Supreme Court with respect to the issues that are bound to come up on the scope of Mueller's investigation.
Mm. What do you think about that, Dean Cass? He did make this reference to the fact, suggesting that sitting presidents should not be subjected to civil suits or criminal proceedings because they're simply too busy. Is that a concern when we do have a special investigation going on into, the possibility that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians?
Well, the question of a process against a sitting president is one that was on the table when Bill Clinton was in office. It's one that a number of people who were close to the Clintons have since said the court got wrong in the Clinton against Jones case. You know, I think that when you look at Judge Breyer's opinion, Justice Breyer's opinion in that case, you can see that there are a range of reasonable positions on that are protective of the president and concerned about interference with his carrying out his duties.
Yeah.
As to the bigger question of the administrative state, the Chevron case, which deals with the deference given by courts to agencies, which is what Judge Gertner was talking about, is one that was vigorously defended at different times by liberals as well as conservatives and vigorously attacked by both sides as well. I'm like Judge Kavanaugh, a skeptic about some uses of the Chevron doctrine, because I don't think that courts should be deferring to agencies on interpretation of law. They should defer to agencies on the exercise of legal discretion.
Hmm.
And I think that's been a confusion that this particular case led to. I don't think the case meant to make a change in that, and those involved in it have said as much since then.
I want to come back, though, to this point that Nancy made. And Nancy, I'll come back to you on this. This idea that presidents should not be subjected to civil suits or criminal proceedings. Would this even come before him, this issue? In other words, let's say the president gets into hot water because of Bob Mueller's investigation. The response would be political, wouldn't it? That is, it would be up to Congress to act, to impeach or not to impeach. I mean, would Judge Kavanaugh even be in a position to weigh in on this?
The ultimate decision of impeachment is surely political. But if you go back to the Nixon White House, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court had to weigh in on the question of whether or not the president had to produce tapes. The Supreme Court may have to weigh in on the enforceability of subpoenas, may have to weigh in on the scope of the investigation. There are a host of issues that could come up that frame the investigation, even if the ultimate decision is the decision of the Congress. And as to those, he's made it quite clear that he bends in favor of giving the president substantial discretion. I'd like to know very much. I hope that the hearings bring out what assurances were given, what was told to the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation so that they would put their imprimatur on this candidate.
Mm. Dean Kass, last question to you. What do you hope comes out of these hearings, other than a sort of first-class political battle between Republicans and Democrats?
Actually, what I hope comes out of it is a speedy confirmation of somebody who would be a terrific addition to the court.
All right. Well, that's Ron Kass. He's Dean Emeritus of Boston University School of Law. Dean Kass, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Always a pleasure.
Take care.
And Nancy Gertner, former federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Nancy, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, a live debate between the two Republican candidates running for state attorney general. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.